The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kubale Ogbayani.
Don't call it. Tie ball game. Worst can happen. We go to overtime. Murray makes a move. Denzel.
The Nuggets have won.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kule Ogbayani alongside Paul Brecht. Woo! Are we fired up this morning? I hope that kind of woke everybody up in case you weren't already up on your either commute to work or listening later on the podcast version. What a game yesterday. A game that I could thoroughly enjoy just as a basketball fan, and which I posted about, because if my team is going to be horrendous in this playoff so far, the Orlando Magic, then you know what? I'm glad I get to see some pretty fun playoff basketball games. It was really, really, really good to see. So we'll get into NBA coming up a little later in the show. We'll start some NFL discussions as well. And we're just going to have a lot of fun because I'm still fired up from that game. Nuggets and Jamal Murray with the game winner, 101-99, to take a 2-0 series lead over the Los Angeles Lakers. Oh, what a sight to see. Now, before the game before that was also exciting, which Paul Brecht knows all too well about, with the Knicks beating the 76ers in a close one, 104-101, which also had a crazy ending. But before we get into that one, we got to talk about this Lakers-Nuggets game. I mean, I don't know, there were all kinds of interesting things that happened, one being that at one point at around the 10-minute mark in the third quarter, Lakers were up by 20 and somehow found a way to blow a 20-point lead. Going into the fourth quarter, they were still holding on to a 10-point lead. I mean, I get it. You have players like Jamal Murray and, of course, Nikola Jokic. But when you have LeBron James on your team, there is no possible way that you're supposed to blow a 20-point lead. And shout out to our friend Arash Markazi, where they talk about their Lakers head coach, Darvin Ham, being on the hot seat. And the Nuggets have outscored the Lakers 114-83 in the second half in this series after making halftime adjustments, which feels like the Lakers pretty much aren't making any halftime adjustments. And again, I said it before the series even starts. Hey, if LeBron's going to play Super Saiyan, which he still looks like he's one of the best players out there, even though he's the oldest player out there. But man, you can't blow that type of lead if you're the Los Angeles Lakers, albeit it was pretty much in the bag, which is why it kind of bugs me that there's so much complaining about the officiating. Yeah, there were some bad calls here and there in the game, and there was like that review or whatnot that went the other way, but you're up 20 points in the second half. That's like, there, you can't blame the officials for blowing that lead. Like, two calls isn't going to change it. I was surprised also that LeBron had missed that wide open three. I think I texted you and Michael yesterday. Like, I think he was so surprised that the defender fell down and he was just looking directly at the hoop. And he just had all the time in the world, pulled it up. I know some people are saying, all right, because there was 16 seconds left on the clock. So he could have took a couple of dribbles and maybe shot it. But I don't know, when it's wide open like that, it's hard to not shoot. But that is a shot that you're supposed to make. So at the very least, at least you're up by three, because he was well behind the three-point arc. And if, you know, force Denver to try to hit a three, if Denver hits that three, then you're going to overtime. Like,
yeah,
it's just, it was, for me, it was fun to see because, sorry, AC Custodio, but I'm like everyone else who is not a Lakers fan. You're just naturally going to cheer against the Lakers any chance you get. So I love the NBA playoff moment, the crowd going wild, Anthony Davis getting stuck at the bench of the Denver Nuggets. It was all wild and chaotic, very reminiscent to, was it? It was the Philly Raptors, right? When Kawhi was still on the Raptors. Yeah, it was very kind of in the same area. Didn't hit the shot from the same area, but the celebration and Jamal Murray being on the floor was the same area, and very deja vu-ish from Kawhi Leonard's game winner against the Philadelphia 76ers. Ooh, gosh, I can't believe that was like so long ago. He's been on the Clippers for some time already.
Now Joel's going to cry against a new team. It'll be great.
No, but Paul, just real quick. What are your thoughts, at least with this Denver Nuggets taking that 2-0 lead and the Lakers blowing 20 points away?
I thought you put it really, really well in the fact that I don't think that you can really complain about officiating when you had a 20-point lead. When you have a 20-point lead, you can't lose the 20-point lead. And that's just how it is, in my opinion. Like, yes, at the end of the day, there are calls that can go either way. It's very frustrating when you don't get the benefit of the whistle. Believe me, I understand that. Believe me, I also understand that sometimes it comes back around for you. The Lakers are the last team that should complain about a whistle, especially considering their free throw margin compared to every other team in the NBA. They lead the NBA by like 400 free throw attempts. If you think I'm kidding, legitimately look up the regular season numbers. The Knicks were number two, so like, don't get me wrong, I get getting the benefit of a whistle here and there, but the Lakers are on an entirely different level.
Now, there's not so much we need to talk about. The first game that happened of the afternoon yesterday, Cavs taking a 2-0 lead over the Orlando Magic, beating the Magic 96-86. Pretty reminiscent of the score in game one at 97-83, the Cavs on top. But we kind of mentioned it yesterday with Orlando just being such a young team. Good playoff experience up to this point. I mean, you're facing a phenomenal player like Donovan Mitchell, and that's kind of been bothersome watching these Orlando Magic games. I mean, there's been quite a few instances where Donovan Mitchell is essentially wide open when they transition back to defense, and I'm like, defensive 101, you should probably guard their best player and try not to let him get an easy shot. So that's been somewhat of the case watching this Orlando Magic team just a little chaotic, disorganized, especially transitioning back to defense. Offensively, they've struggled quite a bunch within the first two games, shooting below 40% from the field, 32% in game one, 36% from game two. And yeah, that's not going to win you any ball games. You got to at least shoot 40% or more, and from three, shooting in the 20s. So we're just, as a Magic fan, just going to take this with the experience for this young team. And then Jalen Suggs just likes to scare everybody all the time. He's like pulling the Joel
is
and beat.
Okay? Ooh.
No, that was.
Is he okay?
All right, the plan didn't work.
See, that's why we had multiple microphones set up.
Yeah, he was back in, I don't know, some knee sprain, but I was like, is he back in the
I was going to say, I saw the knee sprain, but I didn't know if he was okay other than the knee sprain, like, because those can hurt really, really badly.
Yeah. And then game one, he kind of had a scare with the shoulder, so it's been a whole thing with Jalen Suggs, but like I just said, it's not fun. It kind of tortures my eyeballs as a basketball fan to watch them play right now, especially it being that it's playoff basketball. So, you know, like Chuck and Shaq them said it best, like Orlando, I think this is brand new to them. Playoff. That's why a lot of us fans say the season starts during the NBA playoffs, because this is when we see amazing basketball from the best players in the world, because every game matters. Everyone's trying to win. And I don't think Orlando was used to that going into this. They just don't know the feeling. It's not like they're not trying to win, but I don't think they're used to playing playoff teams where you're like, oh, this team is a lot better than we may have anticipated. Donovan Mitchell is playing even more motivated. So,
You see this a lot. In the NBA, I've mentioned it a couple of times to you off air. Perhaps I've said it on air at this point, where this Magic team reminds me a lot of the 2020-2021 Knicks team. If you go back and you look what they're referred to as in Knicks history, it's the We Here team. Super fun. You get the fourth seed. Julius Randle has an all-NBA season. You have a forward who looks like they're going to be an all-NBA type caliber player going forward long term. And you get to the playoffs and you realize that the rest of the team still needs upgrades around him. And that's totally okay, because Paolo Banchero, incredible player, incredible young player, who is getting a taste of the postseason very early on here in his professional career. And then on top of that, you have a bunch of other pieces that get good playoff experience with this series against a quality Cleveland Cavaliers team that, you know, they got their own dose of this medicine last year from the Knicks, where you look at it and you're like, dang, is this really our team? And the answer is no. Like, our team, you'd think that as a fan, is better than this. But at the end of the day, playoff basketball is very, very different. I mentioned it, I think, yesterday, where you have to play a team four times in a row. You have to play a team over and over without changing up the opponent. The other team gets to study every single one of your tendencies, where you like to shoot from, where you get your most offense from, where you like to pass from, how your sets are, how your defense works. They learn you better than you know you, and it's about being able to make adjustments. Something you mentioned with Darvin Ham and the Lakers have completely been outcoached in their series by Michael Malone and the Denver Nuggets. And that's something where Jamal Mosley, a very young head coach as well for the Orlando Magic, like, the Magic are just young overall. You look at them and you think, oh, they'll be back. This is a great learning experience for them. It sucks as a fan to watch. Believe me, it's ugly as all get out. But in the long term, it's something they'll look back on, and you might not be a top four seed next year, but you're feeling really, really good going into whatever first round playoff series you have, because you're like, okay, now our best players know what to expect and we've gotten better. So that's how I'd look at it if I'm an Orlando Magic fan.
Yeah, and for other fans that don't know, they're legitimately, like, young. I mean, Paolo's just a couple of years out of college as a one-and-done type of player. And then you have Franz that's, like, 22. Jalen Suggs is around that age, too. And all of their main players are under 25. So they're, I mean, you have college players that are older than some of these NBA players. Yeah. So, and like you mentioned, even their head coach, which, when you come down to probably the, you know, the conference finals and the finals, a lot of it does come down to the coaching and who's going to outcoach the other one.
Well, yeah.
Because the best of the best make it to the conference finals and then, of course, the NBA finals. And it's going to come down to the coaching and the real-time experience. That's why we did see Golden State be so good for so long. Not only did Steve Kerr is a good coach, but just the players themselves have all that chemistry together, which we get nice basketball from there. But we got to take a break. When we come back, I'll take the leash off of Paul so he can
the dog off the chain over here. Come on.
I know, he's like, do I get to talk about the next game yet? But got to take a break, so we'll be right back to continue our discussion about the NBA playoffs next on Wake Up in the Den.
When I met you in the summer.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Kukule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
As the leaves turn brown, and we could be together, baby, as long as skies are blue.
It's Wake Up in the Den.
So innocent now.
Kukule Agbayani and Paul Brecht.
So
talking about the NBA playoffs. Woohoo! And coming up today, speaking of, just before we recap one of the other games from yesterday, coming up today, we got Suns, Timberwolves, Pacers, Bucks, and then on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, you guys can hear the Clippers-Mavs game. Broadcast begins at 3 o'clock p.m. and tip-off or game time is at 4 o'clock L.A. with the 1-0 lead over the Dallas Mavericks, which, hey, the Clippers looking pretty good as well. All right, going back to the games yesterday, last but certainly not least, the Knicks, another exciting one. DiVincenzo, the surprise somewhat hero. And then that's another one, though. The 76ers messing up the inbound play. But I already know Paul Brecht was going nutsos in his house. I texted him like, oh, I bet you scared Casper towards the ending of that game.
I feel so bad for Casper, man.
It got crazy because our household was going a little crazy too, just because, again, it was like phenomenal basketball. That, like, I was trying to edit like some of our video stuff, which one being the Hawaii Players Pod featuring Kat Koch, presented by Hawaii Pacific Health, that you can look out for later on today. So I'm like editing video, and then the game is playing you know, on the side. And then I remember I glance over at the score every once in a while. And then I see, you know, the 76ers had a pretty good lead every time I looked over at the screen. And the next thing you know, I'm like, whoa, it's TV starting to get kind of loud. Like, what is going on here? And then I watched like the final couple of minutes of that game. And lo and behold, it got insane. And the Knicks escaping the 76ers 104-101. I mean, it's hard, man, with Joel Embiid. The older he gets, the more banged up he gets. I kind of feel about the 76ers like I do about the Buffalo Bills. Like, they've always been kind of, they had like that 1 year, and it, ironically, I think it's that year that Kawhi just put that dagger in their soul when Toronto goes on to win the NBA championship. But that's what I'm reminded of. I feel like that could have been the year for the 76ers. And after that, even though they're good, they're a solid team every single year, I just have the same feeling about them as I do of the Buffalo Bills, where they'll always be that good team. But I think their time and their window has passed, especially as I just mentioned with Joel Embiid getting a little older, continues to get banged up. And I know Paul Brecht isn't losing any sleep over that, though, because the Knicks coming out with that win, taking the 2-0 lead.
I'm going back and I'm reading texts right now that I sent in group chats with my friends, and some of it not safe for air, quite obviously.
Obviously.
Some of it, dagger from Maxi, sent at 4.01 p.m. Hawaii time, at 4.08 Hawaii time. Oh my God, what, how, Knicks up by one. In all caps, 13 seconds left. And then, of course, in typical Knicks fashion or Knicks fan fashion way, my immediate response after being like, Knicks up by one, 13 seconds left, they're going to lose on a buzzer beater. That was the first text that I sent. I go, that's the worst part. They're going to lose on a buzzer beater. And they didn't, because at the end of the game, Isaiah Hartenstein coming up with a couple of massive plays on either end. So, as you mentioned, the Knicks down by four with under a minute left.
Yeah, so the exact time, 45.1 seconds left at a Jalen Brunson defensive rebound. The Sixers were up 101-96.
Yeah, because Kyle Lowry, you're right, I forgot the free throws.
Free throw. That, make your free throws, kids.
Well, and it would have changed everything. Would have been a tied ball game. You would have been able to hold for one shot instead after what was a miracle for the Knicks. And as somebody who didn't live through the Reggie Miller 8 points in 9 seconds, 8.7 seconds, I've heard so much about it. I've seen the clip over and over again. And for Yankees fans, ooh, for Knicks fans, that was their Yankees moment. That was where, this doesn't happen to us. This doesn't happen to Knicks fans. We're always on the other side of it, you know, where, oh, it's LOL Knicks. It's they're the same category as the Jets, where the other shoe is always just waiting to drop. Oh, you made an incredible comeback, a historic comeback. Guess what? We're going to hit a buzzer beater on the other side. And that didn't happen. Like, I legitimately could get emotional about it type of deal, where it was, that's what the type of playoff basketball you dream about. And this series, far, 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 far from over. The 76ers, oh my God, you want to talk about a team who has two stars going at full tilt, it feels like, between Embiid and Maxi. Maxi really just showing himself off to the national stage that he has also arrived. I know he finally got his all-star nod, but he is phenomenal out there. And the Knicks got to figure out a lot of stuff going back to Philly still to try and continue pushing up this lead in the series. Up 2-0 is fantastic, but as I kind of texted you to give you a positive spin, after the first two games for Orlando, home team's supposed to win the first two.
Yeah.
Home team is supposed to win the ones that are at home. Series doesn't start until the road team wins one.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, if I'm the Knicks, I would really love to get this series started in game three, because the sooner you step on Philly's throat, the better. This is far too good of a team to play around with your food.
100%. And if Orlando was shooting better and playing better in general, not leaving Donovan Mitchell open multiple times so that he can take wide open shots, because he's the best player on the Cavs by far. I would have more hope about, hey, you know what? It's still a series. As you mentioned, it's, you know, it's a series until, you know, someone loses a home game. But in the case of the Orlando Magic, this is participation trophy time. We're just going to get this playoff experience, which I'm totally okay with because the team is young. Where if you look at a team like the Phoenix Suns who play today,
I'm a Phoenix Suns fan.
All right,
fan.
You have like incredible players with all of this experience. Kevin Durant, was it Shaq? Somebody said like Kevin Durant is on his way to pretty much like irrelevance at this point.
I think
it's a little
it
harsh.
Wasn't Shaq.
But it was more of a comparison to like Nikola Jokic, where
who
you know
did say that.
You saw it too.
I saw the quote. Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's an interesting take.
I thought it was an interesting take. I didn't think it was a good one, to be quite honest. It's kind of hard to call Kevin Durant irrelevant.
Yeah.
I just feel like a lot of stuff centers around him, but it's a fair enough like thought process to be like, oh, are we seeing that changing of the guard? It's always awkward when you see the changing of the guard, though, because it's LeBron starting to phase out finally in age, and that's only because he's going to retire. It's not even because he's bad. KD, he's had some pretty big injuries over the past few seasons that have slowed him down as he gets older as well. He still looks phenomenal, but the league's just in a really good spot right now where there's so much awesome young talent.
Yeah, I mean, Phoenix is playing the Timberwolves with Anthony Edwards, who is like insane. Like,
that's kind of where I'm
young
going.
Young talent. Like,
right, where you have an Anthony Edwards, it's his time now. It's the changing of the guard where, I saw a photo the other day of Kevin Durant guarding against Kobe Bryant. And it was one of those type of things where it's like, oh, we're starting to see the changing of the guard in real time. Like, does this mean KD's retiring after this season? No. That, of course not. But we're starting to see like, oh, this dude's got next. Ant has next. And there are some other guys in this playoffs who are showing like, oh, they got next up. And that doesn't mean the old dogs can't have new tricks. Our Alan Mia, you know, I'm sure is enjoying watching the Clippers right now and how they've looked throughout most of this season and in game one as well. But, you know, the younger guard starting to, I mean, look no further than the number one seed in the West, in that the Oklahoma City Thunder are essentially, they could be our college interns.
Well, and it's crazy. And I gotta go back and look at what the trade entailed, but it always like hurts my soul because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was on the Clippers and he was on the Clippers team when they first came here to Hawaii, and he was I don't know if that was his rookie season or he was still really, really young in the league. And he was just so nice and like this really soft-spoken kind of kid. And to see like how well he was starting to already show his skills when he was still in the Clippers and then now plays for the Thunder. And I'm like, dang it, he could have been in LA. Again, the actual trade and what happened with Shai going to OKC escapes me. But I've always liked Gilgeous-Alexander as a player ever since he was on the Clippers, because you could see the talent when he was just really, really young and just getting into the league. So I hope OKC, you know, is able to really continue their play and everything moving forward. But amazing to see another team that's down. That's probably why he had texted us. Now that I see your text to our group, I didn't see what you texted, but like when I'm looking at one of the other games today with the Pacers and Bucks, Milwaukee with the 1-0 lead over Michael Lascaro. It's a Pacers here. So, but again, hey, Bucks are the home team. Bucks are a solid team. So
I'm also going to go out and say
same
this,
time.
By the way, I am rooting against the Bucks and I am rooting against the Cavs because I think they had cowardice behavior to end the season and trying to lose and set up an easier first round matchup because they didn't want the 76ers. I just want to put that out there. I'm gonna leave it there. I was gonna continue, but I'm gonna leave it there because I am happy with a 2-0 lead, and I'm never trying to get smited by the basketball gods who are currently being very good to me. That's what I will say.
I like that. You're like, they're being good to you. All right, we're gonna take a look at the futures now as it stand if this wants to pull up for me.
Nope. Pull up.
Pull up. All right, there we go. The Futures as you have it. One of the teams that I think a lot of people think will likely sweep their series. Oh, sorry to our friend that joined us yesterday, but a lot of people have this first one being a sweep with the Celtics. So, sorry, Heat fans. Celtics plus 140 to be the winner of the NBA Finals, followed by the Nuggets at plus 260. The Clippers moving on up there, still at 13-1, and the Thunder at 14-1. So we have already started to see some flip-flops. The Knicks moving significantly up. So the Knicks and the Bucks moved way up and are at 16-1. My Magic are at the very, very bottom at 500-1.
I think the Knicks are plus 600 to win the Eastern Conference at this point.
650.
Even better.
Hey.
I'm going to have to make a call home. Actually, I'm going to be in New York for a quick weekend, you know. I'm going to have to log into an app
just to put it on there. And the Celtics are minus 250 to win the East. Ooh. So
no, kidding.
Knicks are going to come up with the upset.
I'm not even going to have to. Yeah. The Heat are coming back in this first round series simply because of our friend yesterday.
Yeah,
that
doing
we
good
met.
Things to help the Kupuna. So just for him, the Knicks are going to come back. No Jimmy Butler, but
I talk about the basketball gods, you know, karma going to help out. Oh, God, I hate saying help out the Heat. But, you know, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
All right. I got to step aside. When we come back, we're closing out the NBA talk for now. Don't forget, this afternoon on your afternoon commute, you can listen to Game 2 of the series with the LA Clippers and Dallas Mavericks right here on HSRN. Broadcast begins at 3, game time at 4. But when we come back, we're going to change it up and get into some football. Instead, it's NFL Draft Week, baby! We'll be back.
Wake up in the den with Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
It's
welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. Let's wake up in the den. Alongside Paul Brecht, I am Kuule Agbayani. Mahalo for tuning in this and every weekday morning on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. We appreciate all of you guys so much that have supported us for the first few years, and we ain't stopping yet. We got a lot of action going on this week, especially as we bring you a bunch of local play-by-play from tomorrow and throughout the weekend. So tomorrow afternoon, we will have first round of OIA softball playoffs, between Waianae and Castle, game time at 3 o'clock p.m. So we'll be out over there. And then on Thursday, that's right, this Thursday, you guys, not only can you hear us in the morning, and then we will be here from 2 to 5 p.m. myself, Paul Brecht, and Michael Lescaro to bring you HSRN special NFL draft show. So the NFL draft officially starts at 2 o'clock p.m. And of course, they don't say the first pick at that time. So we will jump on air and be ready to give you all the pick by pick breakdown through your afternoon. So be sure you guys tune in that afternoon. Again, myself, Paul Brecht, and Michael Lescaro for the HSRN NFL Draft Special, 3 hours in the afternoon. So we're going to have a fun time. And then on Friday, we'll have OIA Baseball Division 2 and Division 1 Championship Games live from the Les Murakami Stadium. First game for Division 2 begins at 4 o'clock p.m., followed by the Division 1 game no earlier than 6:30 p.m. And then on Saturday, our team's going to be all over the place. So Saturday, we will be out covering HPU softball. It is their final couple of games. It is a doubleheader out there. So if you guys want to just go and support the Sharks, the first game you can hear on the radio, it'll be at 12 o'clock p.m. And then they have a second game, which will be their official senior day game, the last game played at Howard A. Okita Field. So if you guys can, I encourage you to cheer on the Sharks and or Chaminade as well. But we can't bring you the second game of that doubleheader because we need to skedaddle to McKinley High School, and we will bring you OIA softball Division II and Division I championships, with the first game beginning at 4 o'clock p.m. in Division II and the Division I game starting no earlier than 7 o'clock p.m. But wait, there is more. Sunday, we will bring you the HPU baseball doubleheader between HPU and Chaminade. And that game, if you guys want to come out, or that series, they have a two-game series, or they have a four-game series total. So two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday at the Les Murakami Stadium. So not out at their usual location at the Patsy T. Mink Central Oahu Regional Park. They will be out at the Les, and so will we on Sunday. But as we mentioned earlier, and I got more information as HPU Baseball had posted about it, Saturday is the PacWest game. So the Sunday games are non-PacWest or non-conference games. That's how they're listed on the schedule. But Saturday are the two games that really, really matter for the Sharks. So the Sharks just need to win one game in that doubleheader on Saturday against Chaminade in order to officially punch their ticket into the postseason. It would be their first postseason trip since 2010. 2010, you guys. So as much as, you know, we love our Silver Swords as well, Chaminade doesn't have a shot in making the postseason. So we're going to go all in on the HPU Sharks, and hopefully they can punch their ticket into the postseason, because what Dane Fujinaka has been able to do in his first few years, if they can really close this out and go there, it's going to be really exciting again. First postseason berth since 2010. Need to win one game on Saturday. But you can hear the season finale between HPU and Chaminade on Sunday right here on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. Woo! All right, that was a lot. But nonetheless, as we go back, we talked about how we'll have our NFL draft special on Thursday, but we definitely can't, you know, we got to talk some NFL. We didn't circle back to it yesterday, but Paul had mentioned it during the show, because he was so excited that the Jets did trade Zach Wilson to the Broncos in a late round pick swap. And it was funny because the look on Paul's face during that time when I said, oh, we have a lot of Broncos fans in Hawaii. And he's like, really? And I told him, yes. And one Broncos fan we forgot about, Kevin Hashiro over at Chaminade, is also a Broncos fan, as I saw in his Instagram story. But now Zach Wilson is going to the Denver Broncos. And I know there's been a lot of jokes and whatnot. So the Jets traded Wilson to Denver ahead, obviously, of the draft on Thursday. So sending Wilson and a 7th-round pick, number 256 overall, to the Broncos in return for a 6th-round pick, number 203 overall. So there's been a lot of chit chat and a lot of fun chatter, saving money. I think it was Michael that texted our group chat, but I've said that a lot on the social media, because knowing that Russell Wilson, there's all those Russell Wilson jerseys in stock. So people are just making jokes about, hey, maybe they just wanted to save some money and they can recycle these Russell Wilson jerseys that already have the nameplates on them and via Denver, yada, 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 yada. Which, yes, is very comical, but I'm sure not everyone's having a fun time with that. I know Paul is having quite the fun time, being that Zach Wilson is no longer a Jet. But taking a look ahead of the NFL draft, a lot of stuff going on. I mean, now that we're in the final home stretch, I mean, the mock drafts are all over the bleeping place. Like, I've officially stopped. I mean, I'm going to start, like, I'm doing my homework preparing for our Thursday draft show just in terms of, like, picks that I feel comfortable about. But some of these mock drafts that I've been seeing have been really tripping me out in terms of even Marvin Harrison Jr. dropping, where the Cardinals, like, don't pick him up at the number 4 spot. And
won't happen. Won't happen. I can tell you that unless they get a Godfather offer, Marvin Harrison Jr. will be an Arizona Cardinal if his name is there at number 4 overall. I will tell you that right now. I mean, it's not even close.
That's what I said. But
it's
like,
not close.
That's what I feel like it's supposed to be. But then when I saw this latest like mock draft, I think it was via The Athletic. I need to find it real quick. Oh, no. This is... Okay. See, now it's... Now I got to find where I saw it. Like, in this Athletic one, it does still have Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Arizona Cardinals, and this J.J. McCarthy thing is tripping me out still with the Minnesota Vikings. I just don't see him as a top or high first round quarterback in this situation.
So the thing it's there all over that the you place. Have to remember, Ku, is that it is always throwing things off when it comes to the value of the quarterback position. You see guys go way too high all the time simply because the value of the quarterback position. Because I agree, I think J.J. McCarthy realistically should go in the top of the second round. He's a phenomenal project quarterback, but he's a guy who should sit for an entire year. He should not go and start right away from the NFL. And to be fair to Zach Wilson, who I have been very critical of throughout his career, that's part of the thing that was wrong with him, was he should have been able to sit and learn and adjust to the speed of the NFL, adjust to the system, the scheme, because there's talent there, and I think there's a lot of talent with J.J. McCarthy, but he wasn't forced to do a ton at Michigan. When he was asked to do stuff, he still made throws, and that's why I believe he's an NFL quarterback. But that being said, it's going to take some time for him to get there and to keep that confidence and whatever. I would love to see him for a redshirt year. Minnesota would be fun to see him sit behind Sam Darnold for a bit. I love Sam, but I don't think Sam is a long-term piece for the Vikings. At the very least, it gives you that buffer, if you are Minnesota, where you can take JJ and then sit him for that year and then give the reins over after this season is complete, or even after 10 games. As soon as you feel that he's ready, think about what happened with Justin Herbert, right? Mm-hmm. Herbert got to sit for a little bit, and I mean a little bit, what, 5, 6, 7 weeks before Tyrod Taylor had
Sometimes that's all it takes.
And that's what I mean is, like, it doesn't... I'm sitting here saying a full season, and it's ignorant by me, to be perfectly frank. I mean, it doesn't take a full season all the time. Sometimes it takes more than one. I shouldn't speak on how J.J. McCarthy will develop, but I do think the best thing for him would be taking an opportunity to sit and develop for the beginning 2 months of the season or so.
And I agree with you. I've been a proponent. I mean, you guys heard me say on this show that in a perfect world, Justin Fields would remain in Chicago and the Bears would still draft Caleb Williams. And you know what? We got a quarterback battle, but Caleb doesn't have to be thrown into the fire right away. Albeit, I think he has seen more, experienced more adversity in terms of play in college than someone like a J.J. McCarthy, because we saw how much he had to be on the field because the USC defense was horrendous. He didn't exactly have the best weapons around him. And then I know last season he kind of tailored off. And as much as I don't appreciate if a player takes a little bit off, I get it, because you just did not have the pieces. You're saving yourself for the next level in the NFL. So, of course, Chicago can't have a miss here. If Caleb Williams ends up being a bust, as a Bears fan, I will be perfectly okay with it, because you went for the quarterback that is the best on paper and not overthinking it like they did with the Mitch Trubisky trade, where, hey, like, let's trade up and get him and he's going to be so awesome, and then it blew up in your face, right? Like, in the same draft class that you could have had Patrick Mahomes type of situation. So Caleb Williams is the best choice, I think, for Chicago, just overall. The lowest risk, but the potentially the highest reward. And when it comes to J.J. McCarthy, I mean, I would prefer, which it seems kind of weird because, I mean, Michigan did beat Washington, but I'd actually prefer the quarterback that was on the losing team and Michael Penix Jr., because we talk about adversity and having to do a lot. And I understand why a lot of people are weary, because he has been injured, but he actually sent out, I saw that post on social media, I wish I bookmarked it, but that he penned or wrote like a good letter to a lot of these NFL prospects, basically saying like he'll take all of the physicals that you need to and whatnot. But he is saying that, hey, I've been tested. I went through all of this stuff. And so when new challenges come up in the NFL, he's already battle tested at that point. And I think from his play, I do like him better than J.J. McCarthy. So we'll see what happens. And if a team is willing to take a chance pretty high on Michael Penix Jr., I also saw another mock where you have someone like Bo Nix going in the second round, another type of project quarterback coming from the same school, that is Oregon, as a Justin Herbert. So a lot is left to be seen. This latest one are still looking at the New York Jets taking Brock Bowers, which could be interesting, with the Bears taking Rome Odunze. Ayo. That would be like the dream if they got Caleb and Rome.
I really like Rome.
I would love that. I love him so much too.
I just think he's going to be a productive NFL player. Like, it's hard for me to look at him and be like, yeah, he's not going to be successful. You know, like, I just...
It's kind of like, I mean, I know they're completely different positions, but it's kind of like Kyle Pitts, where I'm like, or he's going to be like one of the best tight ends.
Right, he's good.
He was not in the best situation with coaching, but we can probably likely see like Kyle Pitts, hopefully, be on the rise now that he has a solid quarterback as well, throwing him the football. But kind of like that. So I get it. You're like, okay, like that guy, almost like if they're a bust, you'll be shocked. Just like Caleb Williams.
Yeah, that, well, it's exactly that, where I just truly don't think he's a bust. Like, I think he's got good hands. I think he separates well enough. He has late hands a lot of times. I just overall am a huge Rome Odunze fan. And I think in general that my track record's pretty good with players that I like in the draft, because the Jets should have just listened to 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old Paul, and we'd probably be the Kansas City Chiefs right now. You laugh, but I am so
I get it. That's how I feel. Feel about certain, like, other teams in general about drafting, like, players. And I was all about, like, Aiden Hutchinson, and he's been phenomenal for the Lions.
I love Aiden Hutchinson so much.
Anywho, all right, got to take a break. When we come back, we actually have some breaking news to tell you guys about. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a minute on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den, Kuule Agbayani and Paul Brecht. All right, got some breaking news to tell you guys about. Just seeing this tweeted out by Jeff Goodman Hoops, basketball analyst that covers hoops.
Jeff is one of the more connected reporters nationally when it comes to college basketball, and more specifically men's college basketball, for you beautiful people who may be unaware of his work.
So he posted this a couple hours ago this morning, but we had missed it the first time around. So, as we mentioned before, a former San Diego State assistant, Chris Acker, is the new head coach for Long Beach State and their men's basketball team. And added to Chris Acker's staff is former University of Hawaii associate coach John Montgomery. So Monty leaving the University of Hawaii to go and join Long Beach State's men's basketball staff under new head coach Chris Acker. So that's coming through the pipeline of breaking news when it comes to UH men's basketball. Again, first tweeted out by Jeff Goodman. And also added to the list are Anthony Santos of Cal State Fullerton, Philip Scott from Premier Prep San Diego City. The Dobo is Ali Tavakol from San Diego State, Director of Player Relations Josh Calbert of Little Rock. So Chris Acker solidifying his new coaching staff there at Big West Full Long Beach State. So be sure to. But you will likely get all the details from via our Mr. Paul Brecht here, because
I'm working on it.
Yeah, it'll be up soon. So go to HawaiiSportsRadio.com to get all the deets on all of that. But we just wanted to make you guys aware of that breaking news when it comes to UH men's basketball in terms of coaching. But you know what? Hey, wishing Monty all the best. I know his father has a lot of ties to Long Beach State. So anybody just kind of blowing a gasket right now and grandfather. So the Montgomery family does have a lineage within Long Beach State basketball. So that could be a possible tie and consideration. And his family still lives in that area. So we get it. You know, they're out here. They have a, I think their daughter is maybe just not even 2 years old yet. So I get it. Hey, and I'm sure his wife maybe can be closer to her family as well. I'm not entirely sure where the rest of her family is, but I understand. And we talk about it all the time that sometimes people, players and coaches, don't want to be this far away from their loved ones. So
it's
wishing John Montgomery all the best, of course.
Of course. It's really, really hard to be out here. Like, as somebody who comes from the outside, I can say that pretty strongly. It's really, and someone who loves it here as mm-hmm. well. Like, I can't express enough how much I love the islands of Hawaii, and I love being here in the sports scene. But that being said, I think if there's one thing that people of Hawaii can understand the most, it is that family comes first. Family is number one. And that's a big part of this move for John Montgomery, is that he's from California. He spent most of his life in California. His dad went to Long Beach State, played basketball at Long Beach State, is a 2002 member of the Hall of Honor or Hall of Fame at Long Beach State. His grandfather was the first ever athletic director at the beach. Like, the connections there are full, not to mention his dad, 77 years old at this point. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's close with their parents knows that, especially as they get older, the last thing you want to do is try and play with father time and try and take games with time. So,
and again, brand new baby girl. Well, not brand new, but very young.
Right.
Baby girl.
A young daughter, in that you have your own family. You'd love to have your, you know, her grandparents there along with. And then he's also got a sister who he's got three nieces who mm-hmm. he's going to love being closer to as well. I believe he's about an hour drive at Long Beach. He's an hour drive from where the rest of his family is, including his sister and his three nieces. So, like, just in general, the move makes total sense. Not to mention, he connected with Chris Acker way back in the day. That was the first, like, the very first formative experience here at UH that Montgomery got, was winning the Big West under Aron Ganat and with Chris Acker. And he's somebody that the two have maintained a relationship through the years as well. Like, it makes a lot of sense. It sucks. It sucks as a Hawaii fan. But it's also one that, when you take a step back and you look at it, it's really hard not to understand everything that comes behind it.
Yeah, so we totally get it. Wish Monty, Hannah, and their family, you know, all the best going over there. But I'm glad you guys could hear kind of the, because we already know the comments and the blogs are going to go crazy. But for all of you guys listening, be a little more, you're welcome. But at least it paints a better picture. Again, we'll probably have more details. I know Paul will get a chance to catch up with Monty, and you guys can look out for a write-up on HawaiiSportsRadio.com. So, but it makes all that sense in the world. We understand, you know, it's not entirely out of left field and like, oh my gosh, I don't want to see people saying any type of, now the coaches are leaving, blah, 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 blah. This makes all the sense in the world for John Montgomery, just to reiterate what Paul just mentioned about having the deep roots at Long Beach State. So, and having family there, because as someone who was born and raised here, and majority of my family, including of course my parents and my grandma, is still here, I very much don't want to move away because I don't want to be far away from them. If they weren't here, like, I'd highly consider moving away to the continent, because I just, I don't know. Hawaii, I can always come back to Hawaii, but
it's,
this is where family is.
Tough to be isolated. Someone who was isolated with an honor, though, closed things out on a really high note. We got 20 seconds. Tred Rosenthal, your Big West Freshman of the Year,
Woo!
Announced officially today.
There we go.
See, some positive vibes. Some positive mana.
Give it to positive Paul to end. And again, never surprised, always impressed. AKA from quote from Coach Beeman. But we got to go. For Paul Brecht, I'm Kule Ugbayani.